This morning we're in part number 9 in our study on family. We're talking about the important things we should talk about with our loved ones. We've talked about resources, how God's kingdom has resources, and if you're in the earthly kingdom, you're on your own. Remember, Jesus said there's only two kingdoms in the world. There's one that's a broad road that many are on that's leading to destruction. Then he said there's a narrow road that leads to life and peace. He said be on that road. That's the road we are on, praise God. Amen? On the road that leads to life and peace. But there's also relationships. When Christ is in your heart and he's honored by us, victories happen. Great things happen. And if you don't have Jesus living in your heart, the emptiness is profound. We talked about righteousness, how that all of us need to discuss and talk about it in our family, at our home. What kind of righteousness has been on your, are you ready to meet Jesus? I hope all of you know that all of these things going on in the world today is a signal the Lord's return is at hand. He's coming soon. And so we don't want to be people who say, well, I don't have a clue what's going on with me. I'm not prepared. No, we need to live every day that this could be the day we stand in front of a holy God. Last week we talked about roles, the roles that people play in the earthly kingdom. They're literally following like a puppet, the one who's leading. Ephesians says that we were all by nature subject to his rule, but Jesus delivered us from that. And so now our role as kingdom people that have accepted Christ as our Lord, we have a role to expand and exalt the kingdom of God, to lift up the name of Jesus, and so that's what we're all about. This morning, I want to talk about something that you're very excited to hear about, and that is our responsibility as kingdom people. What does God expect of us? What does he want you to do? What does he want me to do? In a world of increasing confusion, oftentimes the lines are blurred. You've got people that you love that are very passionate about blowing stuff up right now. You've got people that think everything is okay, that whatever you decide to do is okay, and without any question, if it feels good to you, just go ahead and do it. And it's very blurry right now. I want to help today with this matter. As part of God's kingdom, we know there's a last day preparation time going on. I hope you're ready. Just this week, flags are being burned in our big city of Portland, American flags. Flags that have been the inspiration for veterans and for families that saw the flag and felt, man, that's where our embassies, that's where our country, and it means so very much. They've been burning Bibles. They're gathering all the Bibles they can find to burn them. Could I just throw in this in? You can't destroy God's word. It's forever settled. There was a guy on drugs, and he said, he went to a preacher. He said, I need some paper to smoke my marijuana. And he said, if you give me something, I can roll it. I can roll the stuff in the... So he said, well, here, take my New Testament. He said, what? You give me... He said, under one reason and only one requirement, you must read every page before you roll and smoke. So he said, I was okay. The former marijuana guy said, I was okay till I got to John 3, where he said, God so loved the world that he gave his own, we sang about it this morning, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He said, I got to John 3 and God smoked me. That's what his words were, praise God. Anyway, that's all free. That's not part of the lesson today. All right, so here we got Bibles being burned, police departments on fire. Last night they burned, one of our police facilities down in Portland. And I just want to remind you, I want to just make it real clear that earthly kingdom people live for self first. That's what they do. In the last number of years, the erosion of values in our country has been on big supply. We can see it everywhere. Just this week, let me show you the picture of a barista from Dunkin' Donuts. His name is Vincent Sessler. He is he makes coffee at the Dunkin' Donuts in the great state of Illinois. Do you see the cup on the right on the top of it? You see there's some white stuff in there? That came out of his mouth. He made the coffee for an Illinois state trooper and gave a little deposit. and then passed it to him over the counter. The state trooper opened the coffee, felt something didn't taste right, and looked in there and was upset, and they ended up arresting this man, and he has been in jail. We asked him, what did you do that for? He said, I hate cops. What kind of value system do we have where people that maintain law and order, soldiers, military people, policemen, first responders, they're mocked and belittled? What kind of value system is going on? Well, you see, the schools, the colleges, if you've been to college, you know what's going on in public universities. They're pronouncing and proclaiming these last number of years that America has been built the wrong way, that a value system of America is twisted, and it's not something that's proper. And so the whole idea is, let's destroy what we know is real and valuable. Let's destroy that. And then, you know, everyone's got to be on their own. You're going to figure out this in your own way. Do what seems right to you. Wow. And so people burn businesses, and you know, so many black businesses have been destroyed in downtown Portland. And what all in the name of making black people be protected and have better? I don't get it. There's value systems that are just the expression of what people have in their mind is hard to understand. Amen. So how does this happen? I want to explain it from the Word of God. The highest loyalty for people that are going the broad road that leads to destruction is self. That's the highest loyalty, to self. Now, Paul the Apostle warns the church about this. Notice what he said in Romans chapter 16. You know, times really have not changed that much. I urge you, brothers and sisters, he's writing to believers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. Who are they serving? They don't even know. But remember, we talked about it last week. Who's in charge? They're serving their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. So God's word tells us they're serving their own appetites. Their own inward longing is a recipe to become a slave to the human desires they have. So the highest loyalty is to self. But I want to remind you something we need to know, and that is that human longings will never and cannot satisfy. If you live to express the rage or the anger or whatever, it's not going to satisfy. I was reading early this morning, Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 9. It says, anger rests in the bosom of fools. If you're angry, it rests in the bosom of a fool. We're seeing that on display all across our country, aren't we? Now notice, this passage of scripture I want to share with you is quite amazing. Philippians chapter 3, verse 18, we see Paul the apostle near death. They're getting ready to kill him in just a few hours. He's in the prison, and he says these words to us. For as I've often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. All of you have people that mock you when you glorify Jesus. When you tell them how wonderful the Lord is, they go, come on, are you serious? Paul's telling us about these people. What is this all about? People who regard the simple message of the gospel is unsuitable for them. Paul's reminding people. Their destiny, now he tells what's going to happen to people like this. Their destiny is what? You got to help me now. Their destiny is what? Destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set, concrete, around earthly things. Paul says, never, never, never live this way yourself. I love the way the Bible is straight. Hallelujah. The destiny of people who live this way is destruction. Now, if you have decided that the most important thing you can live for with your life is you, you will be disappointed with the outcome, Paul is reminding us. If all you care about is your own agenda, can you twist God's word to console your spirit? Can you? So take an inventory today sometime. Am I living for me, or am I seeking to advance God's kingdom? All right, I don't want to spend any more time talking about earthly people and earthly longings. The kingdom of God people live for Christ first. You see the difference. If you take the next verse, Philippians 3, verse 20, notice what, I don't have it on the screen, but let me just say what it says. But our citizenship is in heaven, Paul says. In contrast, you know from English class that if you say the word but, it stops the flow of what we're talking about and goes the opposite direction. But, he says, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly, would you say eagerly? We eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to think with me, when Jesus comes, he's not sending some representative. Would you send the chariots down there and get the people? He's not sending a union representative. He's not sending some assistant associate member from the supreme angelic host. He's coming himself. Now think about that. We eagerly await the Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Billy Graham was asked on his 90th birthday. He's one of my heroes, by the way. He was asked on his 90th birthday, what are the three greatest areas the church needs to work on? Notice what he said. Integrity. Pretty important that he said the same word three times. Now, what does that mean? If you had to define integrity, what would it be? Well, I'll give you a definition. The quality or state of being complete and unbroken, to display wholeness and soundness entirely. People that love Jesus, and he's the most important thing in their life, they are people of integrity. They care about pleasing him. So let's talk about how we're to live this morning. I want to make it real simple for everyone to hear. Let's notice that kingdom people have a clear God-given responsibility. You didn't just say, Jesus, I need your help, you know, I'm gonna give my life to you. I put my name on a Bible. I was baptized 14 years ago. 40 years ago, I attended a church and joined in membership, so I'm good. Are you serious? That's what you think? I'm not belittling membership or water baptism. I'm talking about the importance of a full commitment to Christ. Our responsibility is a full commitment to Christ. This passage of Scripture will help us. It's helped me in immeasurable ways just in the last few hours. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I want to pause for a moment. I want you to focus on that word, consider. I never went deep into that word. I've preached from this passage hundreds of times. I never spent a lot of time looking into that one word as deeply as I did the other day, and it really shook me up with its power. I consider the tense is what's important. It's a progressive tense, present tense. In other words, I continuously consider. The more I focus on you, Jesus, I'm continually considering that everything compared to you is a loss. I'm keeping my gauge open, my focus on you, that as I continuously focus, continue to consider who you are and your greatness and your glory, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing you, Jesus Christ, my Lord. By the way, the word knowing is a progressive word. In other words, there's more to know than you and I know. We have to deepen that relationship. This is not about religion. It's about a relationship. The more time you spend with someone that you love, you learn more about them. You learn what pleases them and what doesn't please them, you know? Amen. For your sake, I've lost all things. And in light of the consideration I've made and come to the conclusion about you, I consider everything I've lost as garbage so that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God and the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, because like him in his death, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Please note, there's no retirement, there's no retreat. He's not arrived. He's in the closing hours of his life. He says, I just want to know you more. I just want to know you more. Now notice, when you read that about, I want to know the power of your resurrection, you look at that and go, I get that. You know, you're baptized, you know, you're in water. As you come out of the water, you're coming forth in newness of life. I get that. That makes sense to me. But we've undersold the meaning of resurrection. I want you to just think with me for a moment. I'm not going to ask you how many of you have been perplexed about not being able to go to school, having your favorite team sport canceled. By the way, parenthetically, I can say those Cardinals are very fortunate, because if they had played the Cubs these three games this weekend, they'd have got blown down. Anyway, just for those of you that are Cardinal fans watching in other places. Anyway, discouragement. Why is this happening? Why can't I do what I want to do? Why has everything changed? And people are like, I talk to kids, I talk to young people, and they're like, this is weird. This is really weird. I'm not happy. They're not happy going to school. They're not happy with school. People are unhappy. Parents are unhappy. We've got retired people that are in assisted living places. They can't even leave to go to the grocery store. They're locked in like inmates, like they're in a jail or something. The resurrection power. When you're low, I want to know that resurrection power, because he breathes life into me. He breathes strength into me, joy into me. In the middle, that's what he's talking about. A richer experience is what I want. I want to know Christ in a loving way, in a strong way. And he said in verse 8, for his sake, I've lost everything. Glory to God. This equals the release of spiritual power. You know, a person with an experience is way better than a person who has a theory. And you and I have experience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And his resurrection power wants to rule and reign in you and fill you with hope in the middle of whatever things are going on around us. Everything in life can be gained, attained, or earned pales in comparison to knowing Christ. So our lifelong responsibility is to live for him in relationship. That's why he said in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now I want you to think with me about that one word there, gain. Interesting word. It's the Greek word kerdos, and it means interest, gains, or profits. You and I are like investment bankers. You got all of these things, opportunities that pass through your hands every day. You've got money in your pocket that's come. You've got abilities to make decisions. And so we're like a banker that knows what to do and make wise choices. And he said, to die is gain, because we made choices that honor the Lord all along, and now it's profit time. I wrote into the notes, wait till the people stop shouting and dancing in the aisles. It's going to take some time to settle the crowd down. Come on, do you understand what I'm talking about? Yes. Amen. So I need to ask myself, how can I spend more time in fellowship with Christ? What am I going to do about that? Make a note today. Do something. Does the activity that I do the most with my time and energy bring glory to Jesus or no? How can I grow more perceptive of what honors Jesus? These are questions we need to ask each other. These are questions we need to think about. Or you can just go through life like numb, just a machine. One more day. Let's do one more day. Come on, let's just keep going. Like a rat in a cage going around. Or we can say, I'm living. God's designed me to live for something bigger than just kind of going around, round, 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 round. Amen. Thank you. A full commitment to Christ. But we must also have a full commitment to Christ's church. In the Old Testament, God revealed his heart for his people. What an amazing verse. Exodus 19, verse 3. Moses goes up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you're to say to the descendants of Jacob and what you're to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt. What did he do to them? He crushed them. The army drowned in the Red Sea. They saw the carcasses of those men. Never to see them again. So you saw what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you will obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you'll be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. You go, Pastor, that's Old Testament stuff. Please help me. Well, what did you say in the New Testament? Almost the exact same words. Peter writes to people who are running for their lives that are New Testament believers. They're running because they're in trouble. They're being attacked. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. New Testament people, washed in the blood. You're my special possession. What is our purpose? He answers, that you may declare the praises of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You and I have been called out of darkness so that we can tell others the greatness of God's glory. It is our responsibility to communicate to our world the greatness of our King. In Revelation 1, verse 5, the scripture says, unto him who loved us and washed us in his own blood and has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve his God and Father, unto him be glory, power forever and ever. Many people you meet have forgotten why they're here and wonder why they're so miserable. Never lose your compass heading. Know why you're here. I'm here, you're here, to know him and to bring him glory. Amen. We exist to know Christ and to make him known. So many think it's about us. If I don't like the music, if I don't like the brightness or the darkness, if I don't like, I'm going to just let you know, I'm not happy about this. You're going to have to change. Let me tell you, at 46 years of ministry, I've listened to a lot of people express their opinion a lot of times. Many think the church exists to serve me. It's all about me. It's what our family needs. Huh. Many people think the church is a democracy. It is not a democracy. You and I have been called out of the world to serve Jesus and build his church. If you live in Vienna, Austria, you're there to build the Church of Jesus in Vienna. If you're here in Salem, Oregon, you're here to help build the Church of Jesus here in this community. We exist to know Christ and help others to know him. I'm almost there. Kingdom people have a clear, God-given responsibility. But kingdom people are committed to God's authority also. We're committed to his authority. You say, I'm not listening to anyone. I'm going to do what I want. You know that. You know what that sounds like, don't you? The broad road that leads to destruction. Remember, we talked about that. So our family must know your family. We must know these clear responsibilities. Let me just highlight three or four of them before I close this morning. The Word of God has to be the final authority for you. The Word of God is the final authority. Whatever it says in that book is not changing. Whatever it says in there is true. The Mormon guy came and said, I'd like to come in the house and share with you about the good news. I've got this Bible I want to share. I said, you're welcome to come in, but you're going to have to leave that on the front porch. Why is that? Well, it's cursed because you've twisted it and changed the scripture. There's only one Bible here that's going to work, and it's my Bible. So come on in, let's talk about Jesus. Well, it's, you know, really, it's late in the day, and we're going to have to go, and da-da-da, we got other people to call. Praise God. The Word of God is the final authority. Don't come with some twisted change that you've decided to fix up to make things look a little more palatable. I'm going to tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ still covers people's sin. He is the only answer. He is the only hope for America, for the whole world today. Rightly divide the word of truth. The Lord calls us to be under authority. Now, I want to just remind you that the state of Oregon and Governor Brown and all of those in authority over us, they're not the enemy. We pray for our governor. We pray for those in authority over us. They're not the enemy. But when they tell us that we can't worship, they've gone into a whole nother zone that I can't submit to. I'm sorry, I am going to worship because Jesus has called me to come and give him glory, and I'm going to do that. Now, if you live in California, they've told you you can't worship publicly. You can't do that. So I just, after the second service, a gentleman that I don't know came up to me. He said, did you see the news this morning? I said, no. He said, there's a church in California that wanted to worship. Their church has been closed, and they've, you know, locked the doors and turned the electricity off. The government has. He said, so they decided to go rent a big room at the casino that is open. And they're holding service in the casino. Well, praise God, whatever it takes. And let me remind you, the Lord has called you and I to be a part of his church. You know, the football player, he's all dressed up. He's got his uni on. He's standing there. He's ready to roll, but he's an independent person. He's not part of any team, not identifying with anyone. How odd is that? Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 22, let us draw near. If you have your Greek New Testament that tells the tense and so forth, it says, let us ever be drawing near to God. In other words, that's what we do. We keep drawing near to God. We just keep loving him. Let us ever draw near to God with a sincere heart, with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. It's going to be progressive. We're going to have to clean up from time to time and ask God to forgive us for stuff. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. George Herbert Walker Bush was one of our presidents in days gone by. Do you remember what he said? Read my lips, there'll be no taxes, no increase on taxes. Some of you remember that. Some of you don't even never have heard of George Herbert Walker Bush, and I understand all that. And it wasn't long until he had to raise the taxes. But could I remind you, there's one who's promised you who is faithful. His word will not change. So let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Verse 25, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I sent out an email blast maybe a month ago, and I included that verse in the email blast to inform people that we're meeting here and so forth. And a guy came to church. He said, we decided that we couldn't disobey the word of God any longer. We need to come together and do what the Bible said. Thanks for telling us what the Bible said. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. We've got 1,500 people that are not here today on this campus because of COVID stuff and all of those things. I'm just glad for you that are here. I can see you with my eyeballs. I see you. I'm just so happy you're here. And those that I see by faith, long distance away, I can see you. Praise God. We're not giving up meeting together. But all the more, as we see the day approaching, we are encouraging and exhorting one another. Praise God. Now, I want to take you back a few years. This morning, Scott and Carol Stevens were in the second service. They had accompanied Bonnie and I to Vladivostok, Russia. A couple years back, we were invited to do a leadership for pastors and national leaders. most of them Pentecostal. Almost all had suffered punishment for being a Christian. It was a fabulous gathering. I've thought about it many times since then. A lady came up that was short. She was a preacher of the gospel. All of the teeth were gold. When she looked at you, you could see the genuine passion for Jesus. She shook hands. It was like shaking hands with a lumberjack. She's a powerful woman. She said, "Pastor," she asked Bonnie and I to pray for her. She said, "You'll probably never remember me, but we're going through a lot here in this atheistic country. We're not allowed to do what we want to do. Please remember us in prayer. Please pray for me." Then she took this watch off her wrist and gave it to Bonnie. She said, "Would you put this in a place so whenever you see it, you'll remember me?" So it's been in our house in a prominent spot, and we remember to pray. I don't know the lady's name, but I remember her face, and I remember her need. And I remember those today that are suffering in places of this world where you and I think it's bad here. It's tough in a lot of places. We're committed to what God has called us to be. People that love Him. People that boast in Him. People that have decided that compared to the world, it's garbage. Knowing Him is our treasure. Knowing Jesus is what life is all about. And as you consider what your future looks like, as you consider what your family's dreams and hopes are, what you think you're 18 years old, you're thinking, I just want to go do something great with my life. Remember the lesson today about our responsibility to love and to serve Jesus first. Come on and stand with me, would you please? I love the scripture where Paul writes to the people of God. 1 Corinthians 15, he says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you." Oh, there's stuff that wants to move you today for sure. "Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Raising your family to love God, deciding to worship Jesus, if it's just you and a cat, it's okay. Make a difference. We're all in. We're not going to let anything change us. All in. While our heads are bowed this morning, I just want to tell you that Jesus is calling us to come close. He's calling us to carefully evaluate what is in Him compared to what is in this world. He's calling us to yield to His headship and His glory. There was a message in tongues at the second service, and the interpretation of that tongue, as best as I can remember, was, "You have not fully calculated what my presence in you is. You haven't really understood the authority and the power that's there." He said, "Tell the people that I love them. Tell the people that I have a plan for them." Think about that. At the end of the road, you want to know that you've done all you could do to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You don't want to be half in. Come all in. Make Him your treasure. So as you consider Him in an ongoing fashion, you go, "Dear Jesus, You are worth so much more than anything this world could ever offer me. I just want to know you more. I wonder if we could just all over this place just make it an altar of where you stand in the presence of God and say, Jesus, I present myself fresh to you today. I want your power to flow in me. I want your authority to flow in me. I'm going to accept my responsibility to live for you and to honor you, to grow in my walk with you, to always seek to honor you, even in my private time, in the choices that I make on a day-to-day basis. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, would you pour your Spirit out upon us right now? Would you just move us in a mighty way? Would you just help us? We are not victims, praise God. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us and gave himself for us. We acknowledge our need, Lord, of fresh eyes to see you. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here away from Jesus today, could I just remind you how much he loves you? Jesus does not condemn you, but what you feel is conviction. That's a good thing. The convicting presence of the Lord is calling us to come close. He's calling us to accept Jesus as the one who is the true liberator. To let him manage our emotions, our decisions, based upon what his word says. There's life in that equation. If you're away from Jesus today, all over this place, just wave at me. I want to see if you want to receive Jesus today. I want to pray for you. If you let stuff get in the way, I just want to pray for you. He's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. If you're in our listening audience today and you don't know Jesus in a personal way, I have such respect for your never dying soul that I invite you to respond to Jesus now. That you would just open your heart and say, Lord, forgive me. I want to live for you. I understand what the Bible says, that you care about me, that you've died for me. So I receive you as my Savior now. Forgive me of my sins. There's another group in the audience this morning that are people that have made decisions in days gone by to live for Jesus, and the anger and the frustration over circumstance has robbed you of a sense of victory. To you, I speak for a moment. I want to say that the resurrection power of Jesus is real. And the one who lives inside of you wants to manifest with great excitement, comfort, strength, stability in the middle of what you're going through. So, Father, I just bind the heaviness that the enemy has tried to throw on this culture and the frustration that comes from seeing so many things change that are just not comfortable. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for just lifting every heart today, for strengthening every heart in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for lifting every heart right now and letting each one of us experience breakthrough time in your presence, where stuff that's lingered on our shoulders is just shaken off, where we go, hallelujah, I belong to the King. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you prayed with us today, please let me know. Send us a note at peopleschurch.com. If you're in another city, we will give you information about a church just like ours in that city that can help be a friend and a family to you. If you're here in our city, please let us know. We'll be happy to send you materials that'll help you in your walk with Jesus.